her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
The NFL cut down their rosters yesterday to make their 53. And as is often the case, there is still the possibility of some movement. What was the vernacular? There was a phrase that was used. Was it Brian Gutekunst who says that it's not the final, it's just the initial 53? Because obviously there are injuries, there is movement, there are things that can still happen that will change who is in fact a member of the Green Bay Packers. But yesterday, Gabe, were you surprised by any of the moves that the Green Bay Packers made when you saw the final 53?
No, and we talked about this a little bit with Jason. It just seems like in 2025, the days of those big names like Mike Daniels being cut or Josh Sitton, like, oh, I can't believe they did that, seemed to be done. The only one that was on the bubble that would have been maybe been surprising would have been Jacob Monk, just giving up on him. But he ended up going on IR, so he'll be around and be a part of the team going forward. And after he recovers from his hamstring injury, you know, it kind of felt like his camp went on. Isaiah Simmons, probably the biggest name that was cut.
Hardman.
But I mean, well, at that point, we knew. I mean, again, with both Simmons and Hardman, they weren't shocking. We kind of knew they were coming.
Yes.
They had clearly fallen out of favor as camp went along.
But I think that tells us that Reed is going to be healthy, right?
I don't know.
Well, he's returning. He's the next man up.
Maybe.
Who else would it be?
I don't know. No idea. Maybe you could throw Keyshawn back there. He's returned punts before. Like, I don't know if Reed is going to be healthy or not. I'm hoping they give some sort of answer to that today when they speak, but I can't sit here right now and say with any confidence that Jaden Reed, who was walking around last time the reporter saw him with a little bit of a limp, that he's going to be ready to go week one. I would lean in that direction, but I don't know that for sure.
With the Hardman thing, though, guys, I thought Bisaccia was pretty, I don't want to overstate this, but it seemed like he was interested in having him on the roster, right? Wasn't there a...
Yeah, but Bisaccia also said that guys don't make teams just for their special teams ability. Yeah. They have to have other skills.
Well, veterans.
I thought Bisaccia had a little more, I don't want to say clout, but I thought he had a little more pull. I thought he had a little more sway. Is that changing? Do you think that the team is sort of being like, thanks for the input, but we're good.
I think return men have been devalued quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Packers, I mean, going back to Desmond, for a handful of years, I always had a solid returner guy. That's what he did. Roel Preston, Allen Rossum, you know, they've kind of gotten away from that.
I also think a few of the guys that have been handpicked, aside from Keyshawn Nixon, who's blossomed into CB1 now, haven't proven to be all that beneficial to even the special teams. Who is the guy they cut after that boneheaded play last year? He made one mistake.
He wore a single thing. He wore six, right? Number six. He was a linebacker. He was like a Bisaccia guy. I can't remember his name.
Didn't he have two penalties on one play? Yeah, that's not good. Would you rather have two penalties on one play or seven in a game? Isn't that what Belton had, or five?
He had five. Stop embellishing. Come on.
I think I'm taking the two on one play.
Yeah, because they're
mouth. They can only hit you for one.
Correct. Like, one's getting declined.
Yeah.
Unless one happened before the whistle, the other happened after the whistle.
Yeah, you don't have a bad game. Bo Melton making the roster, guys? Surprised?
No. If you would have asked me a month ago, yes, but as camp went along, it was very obvious he was going to make the team.
I thought there was a chance that Savion would be on IR.
Obviously, they think he's going to be ready to go prior to the four games.
Okay.
Because they only have two of those slots that they can use. There's more now that you've gotten through that initial cutdown, but there's only two that you could put on before you got to the initial 53.
Ballantyne? Shocker or no? I mean, he already been cut by...
Yeah, he'd been cut by one team, and I guess he was Bo Melton Insurance.
Yes.
And because Bo just continued to grow in that position, they didn't feel like they had the need for him.
What scares you?
I mean, yeah, in the defensive end position.
What about O-line? Fine? Fine right now.
Yeah, I mean, if they suffer two more injuries, but that's every team. If you have two or three injuries in any team across the offensive line, you're going to start to panic.
Do we know who they're bringing back, Clifford or
Gotta Wait. You got to wait till this afternoon.
To clear?
Well, because it's 24 hours to clear waivers. Yeah. So 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock this afternoon is when you're going to start seeing teams starting to fill up those.
If they both were available, do you have a preference?
I think we know what Clifford is. I'd probably stick with Elgersma. Give him a year on the practice squad. I don't know.
Hopefully he learns more NFL rules.
Clifford feels more like, hey, he's a nice guy. Let's put him on the practice squad.
Yeah, he would be break glass in case of emergency guy. Like, if I had to put one of them in a game tomorrow, I'd feel better about Clifford.
Yeah, sure, but you're probably not winning the game, so what the hell's the matter? Right?
You have a better chance at winning with Clifford.
Yeah.
I agree. It's a low chance no matter what. But it's a better chance with Clifford.
So let's talk about this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. The pieces that they added this year, whether you're talking about a Nate Hobbs or they're talking about the offensive lineman Aaron Banks, is there anybody that you have been very impressed with this offseason? Is there anybody you've been impressed with this training camp and this preseason where you're going, that was a really good move there by Gutekunst and company? Or is it more like, they're just a guy?
I think we're so scarred from the past. Like, oh, great camp. Terrible regular season, but great camp. At least I am. I mean, Lucas Van Ness, they said.
Yeah, he had a good camp.
The guys they added, right? Like the guys that they specifically added this year to upgrade the team from what they had at the end of last season.
I like Jordan Morgan, how he played in the preseason.
He was not an addition.
Yep.
No, I know, but last year, hold on, last year I had question marks. I'm like, I don't know if this guy can play.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I would like to thank Jen for opening the door so Josh and I can once again just talk about Matthew Golden, because clearly he is the biggest addition.
Are you snoring?
These guys, you've been gone for the last 2 days. These guys have beat it down to death, and I'm like...
And my goal is to break him. And I'm close.
I've already set myself up because I win both ways.
Okay. Because you said that you liked him.
45 receiving yards, but I said yes. 45
receptions.
Yeah.
45 receiving yards.
When he breaks that week six, I'm going to tap dance all over you.
Another thing we realized yesterday after I never said 5 games for the Brewers. Couldn't pull the tape. Never said it.
What he actually said was like 7 or 8. Thought they might lose 7 or 8 times in the month of August.
I think our talk and text line, our Carbless talk and text line, confirmed that you never said it. We got folks who are listening to this show every single day, and they couldn't remember you saying that. So that was all the evidence that I needed back in the day when I was here. So I guess the question I'm asking you guys is this. For the additions that they made, if you're trying to elevate the team, and yes, the draft counts and the pieces that you add in the draft certainly count, but we always think that there's a little bit of a learning curve there. It's going to take some time for those guys to have an impact. Maybe Golden breaks the mold there. Maybe he's the guy that is all of a sudden immediately having a big impact on the offense. But do any of the moves they made make you feel like, hell yes, that made us so much better than we were last season? Or is it still just the jury's still out?
Here's the problem. Aaron Banks missed most camp. Nate Hobbs missed most camp. Savion Williams missed all of camp.
And the things that we heard about Nate Hobbs were typically negative because he was injuring fellow teammates.
Colin Oliver missed all of camp. Baron Sorrell played one preseason game and, interestingly enough, led all rookies in pressures and only played one preseason game.
Oh, wow. That's
a crazy stat.
So I don't know who we could even pick other than the first-round wide receiver because he's the only one out there.
Yeah.
Savion Williams hasn't been able to participate in camp.
I mean, there's more questions.
Anthony Belton had 5 penalties in a game.
Yeah. The real contributions have come from, as Chewy was alluding to, the second-year guys who seem to have taken... Like, Tyron Hopper, the Packers kept 4 inside linebackers. Tyron Hopper impressed everyone. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's actually going to be a player and a guy they plan to use during the season. Last year, I wasn't sure if he was going to be on the team long-term. And it seems like they feel very confident in him because, I mean, they don't have anyone behind. Christian Welch certainly could make a return to the team at this point and be the 5th one. But only 4 guys at that inside linebacker position was kind of surprising.
Well, it tells you a couple of things. One, they're obviously going to be playing a lot of, like, base now is obviously still nickel because they're not going to want 3 of them on the field. So they're only going to have 2 on the field most of the time. But also, like, this is part of Goody's plan, is it not? Part of being the youngest team in the league is having the guys that you've drafted and still have on rookie contracts. Those are the guys that are growing and supposed to step forward. those are the guys that are going to make the biggest impact in terms of, yeah, they made some additions, certainly to the roster, but the biggest difference between the Packers of 2024 and 2025 is the young guys growing and contributing more. The guys that have already been here for a year or
yeah.
two.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced that that's a reliable blueprint. I'm not convinced that's a reliable plan.
Yeah,
to me, it feels like it's Thanksgiving dinner and I got a bunch of sides. You know, and somebody else showed up with a plate and they were like, oh, I brought food. Oh, great. What'd you bring? I brought a side. Cool. Well, now we have all of these sides. But what do we have as the main course? What do we have as like the impact? And again, I am conscious of the fact that Matthew Golden very well may be the entree and he could be the guy that pops. But I look at the pieces they added this offseason and none of them to me feel like difference makers. And that has been the criticism of this team is where are the difference makers? So, yes, I would love for Baron Sorrell to have an incredible season. Obviously, slow start with the way that the training camp and the preseason has gone. I would love for some of these guys to really be impact players. But it seems like, Gabe, you're convincing me or telling me that we need to be patient with all of them. And I just don't know if that is a successful recipe. I don't know if that's the blueprint for success.
I mean, I think it is for all teams. Like, most teams, yeah, they're able to add to the periphery. But for, let's just take the Eagles, for example, last year. Yeah, they were able to add Saquon Barkley. They traded for A.J. Brown.
Huge.
Sure, but the big engine of that offense is a guy that they drafted and developed in Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, yeah.
They drafted and developed Devontae Smith. You take a look at what they had on the defense. I mean, no one saw what Zach Bond did coming, right? Like, he was a late add. It's not like he was a first free agent, but they were able to add through the draft. Their defensive backfield took a huge step forward because of what they added in the draft. Most teams, when you look around, their studs are guys that they're going to draft and develop, not guys that they picked up from elsewhere.
So who is the last guy that the Packers drafted and developed into a star, into a difference maker?
Devontae.
Who?
Jordan Love.
Zach Tom.
Zach
Tom's solid.
Still
Jordan's
on the
not there yet.
Edgerrin Cooper would
Edgerrin
be on the
Cooper,
short list.
I would put him on the
Tucker list. Kraft.
Still not there yet.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
Yeah, they have potential.
That is part of the recipe. Mm-hmm. It has to be a part of the recipe of success for any NFL team.
I have a concern.
I just wish it wasn't a sprinkling. I wish it was a pour.
Yeah.
Of guys that they have drafted and that have developed into stars. And I know we always use the Eagles as the example, but doesn't it feel like not only do they draft really well, but they supplement their draft with the offseason acquisitions, whether that's via trade or whether that's free agency. It feels like they have a good balance of, hey, if it takes these draft guys a little longer than we thought it might take them, we still have really solid contributors, sometimes stars, who we've acquired in other ways.
Yeah, and it's easy to focus on the team that won the Super Bowl last year, but there are a lot of other teams that had a lot of success. Like, the Lions had the best record in the NFL all of last year. Outside of Jared Goff, that is mostly guys that they have developed. All the guys that you really like, the Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown,
Laporta.
Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all guys that Aiden Hutchinson... Like, these are guys that they drafted. Kerry Joseph. These are guys that they were able to grow from within. Like, and then you kind of sprinkle in.
Someone from the receiver room has to develop as a superstar.
Yeah.
Has to be an Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was a guy.
Number 22.
Yes.
From Texas.
Down the line. 2-3 years from now. He's going to be amazing.
Matthew Golden.
The fact that they didn't rehearse that at all. The fact that was just impromptu off the cuff.
They don't realize, though, that I'm covered either way.
He's the one who pointed that out to you yesterday, you were covered both ways.
Mr. Fantasy weighing in on the YouTube stream, he says, that's why we're always the youngest team. Our draft picks don't work out. There is some truth to that, though, you guys. And I know we talk about hit rate, and we talk about how often you need to hit on draft picks and first round versus third round and first round versus fifth round and all of that type of stuff. But you are the youngest team because those guys aren't growing into being long-term production guys.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I do love Matt. It was very good. Very, religious. There was this religious experience.
Well, if you listen to it, it doesn't sound like a good word.
Matthew Golden?
Overrated.
That's not even, no.
Mark Tremura.
Let's go to break. Boom. Do you need me to do a read that I don't have?
I will do a read. Finding the right home is a journey. Sometimes quick, and sometimes you have to be patient. I saw so many houses over the weekend, guys. So many houses. Our family has been looking for a lake home, and Nick and Rob at the We Sell Group at Keller Williams have been so patient and so helpful in our journey. Whether you're ready to move right now, or you're starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling, the We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. You can start your journey today at WeSell.kw.com. That's WeSell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, it's not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're looking to play some great golf, the only place to join, of course, it is Wisconsin Country Club. I love it because of the great golf we offer, whether it's the golf course, the practice area with the great driving range, a couple of different short game areas where I can constantly be working on my game. But maybe you're looking for more out of your club. How about this? No assessments, no food and beverage minimums. Just that incredible challenging course. Top tier amenities like tennis, pickleball, and a pool. Get started today at WisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
Brewers got a walk-off win last night, winning 9-8 Arizona. That series continues. I didn't even realize it was a four-game series. And then they wrap up the month with Toronto. I want to talk about this list that Dan Graziano put together. Don't be surprised if about all 32 teams. And for the Green Bay Packers, Dan Graziano said, don't be surprised if Jordan Love is an MVP finalist. So I love this question that Joshy poses to the group this morning on our production sheet. If Jordan Love is an MVP finalist, how many wins does that mean the Green Bay Packers have won? It's double digits for sure, but I think it's got to be, in order for him to be an MVP finalist, are we talking 13, 14? It's got to be closer to that 17 number than the 10 number. So 14, is that the magic number in order for Jordan Love to be an MVP finalist, Chew?
12.
Really?
Because you blame it on the defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he needs two superstars. Matthew Gordon.
Oh, you're coming around, huh?
He likes it.
Kraft.
It's sticking to him.
Yeah.
Costanza.
He's got to have two studs catching the ball, right?
Yeah. Here were the finalists a year ago. Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
Records?
Burrow was 9-8.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really going to mess things up for us, isn't it?
I will say, historically, the winners of the MVP, which are almost always quarterbacks at this point, 13 wins seems to be the point of where people include those people as like a real, they're going to get my first place vote.
Does it need to be more than the wins, though? Because I agree, the wins, and we obviously think that wins are a team stat, not a quarterback stat, but in this case, obviously, we think that it is a checkpoint at the very least that you have to have. To the Burrow point, everybody knew that defense was hot garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So you were willing to excuse away the losses because Burrow was phenomenal and put up unbelievable numbers. Can Jordan Love have that type of season where he's putting up unbelievable numbers? And
yeah, he's done it. We've seen it for 8 games. He's just got to do it for 15. You know, he doesn't have to be lights out every single game.
Well, let me ask you this then, because obviously we saw last season as Jordan was dealing with the injuries, Josh Jacobs was a heavy influence on the offense to the point that they ran the ball more than they threw the ball for the first time since Amon Green was out there, right, Gabe?
Mm-hmm.
If they have a similar plan this year, would that affect negatively Jordan Love's MVP?
Because it's going to be really hard to put up the numbers that you need in order to be the MVP if you're going to be rushing the
but
ball.
But again,
that
even if they win 13 games, I want to be clear on this. Like the 13 games is something that we used as a benchmark, as a checkpoint. But now if they're running the offense the way they did last year with Josh Jacobs, that affects it negatively, doesn't it?
It does. And before we even get to the 13 games, winning the division. Like, obviously, 13 games would probably win the division, but the last player to not win their division and win MVP was Adrian Peterson in 2012.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that was the last time it happened.
That's a checkpoint too.
So you have to win the division. You have, I mean, I think I don't have enough time to research all of these since that time, but I believe since then we're talking top one, two, or three seed in their conference as well.
Because they're probably saying the same thing. CJ Stroud, chance to win MVP. Probably Baker Mayfield, chance to win MVP.
Yeah, you're saying in their respective markets?
Yes. And they're not going to run the ball as much because Mixon is out for the first four.
I would be shocked if Baker Mayfield's in the MVP conversation.
I bet his odds are high. You think his odds are higher than Love?
Yeah, but that division.
I think he regresses.
Really?
Well, even if he doesn't regress, he put up career numbers last year. Yeah. They won double-digit games, won their division, and he didn't sniff. I mean, I just led Reggie off the finals. He wasn't sniffing that list.
But hold on. Doesn't it build? Isn't there an element of because he had all that success last year, there is more attention on him this year, and because of that, there might be a snowball effect. He might gain momentum as the season goes on.
I don't think that's the way it works in the NFL because we pay attention to it all at all times
anyway. I mean, if you're putting your chips into the Matthew Golden, they drafted Abuka, who was drafted higher than Golden.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was the right thing, but I'm just saying.
It seems like that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, whose odds you think are better to
win
the MVP?
Matthew Golden or Emeka Abuka?
We're going to find out. Do you think Baker Mayfield's odds to win the MVP are higher than Jordan Love's?
No. But I am not willing to write it off as him being in the conversation. And it sounds like you guys are.
I don't think he's in the conversation, no.
Do you think he's good?
Yeah, I think he's good.
Okay.
But I think he's kind of reached what that ceiling is. And I don't think... Yeah. We don't know what the ceiling for Jordan Love is yet.
What about Stroud?
Oh, Stroud's in that conversation. Stroud, to me, is in the same boat as
Jordan. Okay.
Where there's still some of that can be written.
Do you think Jaden Daniels will be in the MVP conversation?
He's not. It's because he got hurt.
Should be. What about Bo Nix?
No.
No?
No.
That one seems hard to believe. I do think it's important, though, to remember he put it as a finalist. So that would be those guys there.
Kind of a top five.
So
player.
That's telling us that mainly the Packers are probably a 10 to 13 win team. They're probably either first or second in the division. And things for Jordan Love seem to have clicked in place, which I think opens up a lot of different opportunities. It probably means they change the offense. They become a little more pass heavy. They rely on Josh Jacobs a lot, but not to the degree where last year it felt like at times without Josh Jacobs, they're not moving the ball. It's going to be just an end of the road. And I think it's interesting if we envision a world where Jordan Love has considered that, what does the passing offense look like? And like, what does the offense as a whole look like?
I just don't think it happens if it's receiver by committee.
Fair.
Someone's got to merge. Or two guys have to merge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Setting them up. Yes. Little bear trap over here. Yeah.
Just quickly looking at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Chew. So MVP odds.
Yeah.
Jordan Love is in the same category as CJ Stroud. They're both plus 2,500. Baker is at plus 3,500 in a grouping with Caleb Williams and Dak Prescott.
Where's Daniels?
Jaden Daniels is plus 900. Ooh. He is one of the top five.
Okay.
As soon as I said fair, I then wanted to look. Because when Jordan had his unbelievable, otherworldly stretch, wasn't that by committee?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what makes that not sustainable for an entire season...
Is the committee part?
Is the committee part.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear. Because I was like, it's not like one guy was carrying that load during that
stretch. Who were his receivers then? That was 3 years ago?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
So, like,
is there a Bo Melton game in there?
Bo Melton had the first 100-yard game, yes.
Oh, was that year?
He's now playing cornerback.
He won't be part of the committee.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll as well. Dan Graziano said, don't be surprised. And again, he did this for every team, so he's not saying it implicitly, but he's saying, if Jordan Love is an MVP finalist, are you buying it? Let us know, 800-990-3776. Are you buying Jordan Love as an MVP finalist at the end of this NFL season? Guys, if you're looking to bring more organization and beauty to your home, I cannot recommend Closets by Design enough. Spend some time over the weekend putting my stuff into the closet. Man, that is a tough thing to do. Do I really need to keep this shirt? What about this sweater? How about these pants? I don't think I've been a 25 in a decade. We should probably get rid of the old 25s, huh? Closets by Design has been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. Even though they're a national brand, Doug and his team right here in southeastern Wisconsin bring a personal, local touch, and they have a beautiful showroom right in Mequon that you can visit for ideas and suggestions, inspiration, if you will. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. If you are ready, like I was, to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do. Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For the first time, you can stream all of ESPN all in one place, and it has changed the game. All the best live sports, the most championship moments, studio shows, documentaries, originals, too many to even name them all. Plus, you get all these great new features, like you can watch four games at once in multi-view. Your fantasy team updates are live and in-game. SportsCenter is customized just for you. They thought of everything to make this the ultimate destination for fans. You got to check it out. Sign up for the all-new ESPN app like right now. Don weighing in saying, love as a finalist, LOL. They have a better chance to get to the Super Bowl. And Mike weighing in saying, they just have to be in the run for first place in the NFC for Jordan Love to be a finalist in the MVP conversation. What? Why are you looking at me that way, Joshy?
Wouldn't the Packers being in the Super Bowl imply that their quarterback is playing at an MVP level?
I think it would. Yes. I think it would. I think that's typically those two. Things.
Wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Go hand in hand.
This is
Joshy.
This is one of those causation things too. Right? Like, it's not just correlation. Right. There's causation here. Wanted to recap the Micah Parsons conversation that we had at the beginning of the show. If you missed any of that conversation, you can of course always find it on our ESPN Wisconsin app. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We talk to Adam Schefter as well. But it does feel like people are still building up hope. And I think, to be honest with you guys, no matter how many times we say that Jerry Jones isn't trading Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones has no interest in trading Micah Parsons, reached out to some insiders yesterday and said, hey, any truth to these rumors, this speculation? And the response was, Jerry Jones is not trading Micah Parsons. I understand why people may say, but what if the package is so good, even Jerry Jones can't turn it down? And did I just see somebody that put together, again, this is all speculative, this is all projecting, somebody said two first round picks, a third round pick, and Rashawn Gary.
No.
It's not enough.
You can't trade Gary. No one wants his contract. It'd be a 1 year deal.
Well, again, so when you get traded, a lot of that stuff, like his signing bonus goes away.
Sure.
And things of the restructure bonus goes away. So like his base salary this year is only $7 million. Like, Rashawn Gary for $7 million plus a roster bonus of $8.7 million. Rashawn Gary at $16 million is about right.
For this year, though.
Yeah, and then his base salary is $18 million.
I mean, they would
year.
Probably take Van Ness and say, maybe we can make him work, and he's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want to trade a player just for 1 year. Who is the most credible source we have out there right now that says yes? Because Adam, what were Adam's exact words? Probably not happening.
Yeah, because they're not going to trade.
So it's just internet people.
I believe, Chu, that the Packers are very interested, and I believe
they're yes.
I believe totally that agree. They have talked to the Cowboys and are prepared to offer the moon.
Totally agree.
But the biggest hurdle in all of this isn't the compensation for Micah Parsons, isn't putting together whatever deal you want. It is Jerry Jones finally going, all right, I'm going to trade him. Like, that is the biggest hurdle. And even if you think you've cleared that hurdle and you get to the other side, there could be quicksand on the other side because Jerry's so fickle.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest hurdle in the entire thing.
My guess it'd be three first round picks.
Yeah.
Because don't forget, you get Micah Parsons, and you're winning 13, 14, which puts you at the...
Oh, you're in the back third of the draft.
28th, 29th.
Yeah, you're in the back third of the draft.
It's not like the fifth pick. Well, you get three fifths, you know? I don't know. I just, you know, and I would talk to my one brother weekly, maybe a couple times a week. And from what his brother said, I guarantee he talks to him.
Yeah, he doesn't think he's going anywhere. Because of Jerry. By the way, three first-round picks, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If you're Dallas or if you're...
If I'm Green Bay.
You really think he's that big of a difference maker?
I mean, Adam
really
told us the numbers.
Would put the Packers over the top.
Yeah. Because that's the position that makes you so much better. If you have Micah Parsons, you suddenly feel better about that cornerback.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Because now you've got somebody that is going to make sure that the quarterback doesn't have 3, 4, 5 seconds to throw, because you've got one guy that can get after. Now, instead of Jeff Hafley having to be creative with the way he blitzes so he's only rushing 4 and still dropping 7 in coverage, you can just straight up rush 4. Like, it's going to make Rashawn Gary better because he's got Micah Parsons on the other side of him. It just makes everybody else on that defense that much better.
But I do hesitate to put so many eggs in one basket because injuries happen. Right. And here in Wisconsin, we all saw the Dame Lillard thing, right? Mm-hmm. The Bucks were like, we're going for it. We're going out and we're getting Dame Lillard. And obviously that did not pan out the way that the Bucks hoped it would.
No, if you got Micah Parsons, you better do one thing. And that's win it all.
But you've got 3-4 years to win it all. That's the window with Micah Parsons. I mean, that might not be the Gutekunst window. But if you have Micah Parsons on this roster, it's a 3-4 year window.
3-4. You think so? I mean, there's going to be cap implications here.
Well, yeah, but again, we have been begging, at least I have, for a star,
Yeah.
You want to talk about Jordan Love and can he be an MVP finalist? Guess who's a defensive player of the year finalist every bleeping year?
3-4 years, though?
Yeah.
I'm saying 2. You better win it in 2.
But the window's 3 or 4 because you still do have a young roster. You still have your quarterback locked up. You just locked up.
Yeah, but that's never going to change.
Zach Tom.
Gutekunst wants a young roster every year. That's a badge of honor for him, and
sure,
it hasn't worked out.
Sure, but guess what? If you supplement that with a stud like Micah Parsons, the window's wide open.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody is sitting here saying that Micah Parsons can't be a difference maker. My concern is he's one injury away.
I agree.
Aiden Hutchinson away from then all of a sudden, boom, bust. It all, like, that's where I get a little nervous about the price tag.
Well, but then you're back to where you are right now.
But without your first three
Who cares?
Whoa. 3 first-round picks over
who
the next
cares?
3 years.
Which one of you are Josh?
I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Bleep them picks.
First-round picks.
Bleep them.
Wouldn't this just put everything together of how desperate we've been for a Super Bowl and Goody to, like, make the move and
but
say
But is Goody willing to admit that he's desperate? He said the word urgency, and we joked around about how that's for everybody else.
Yeah.
That's not for me. That's where everybody else needs to act with a sense of urgency.
But you know who's more desperate? Dallas. Dallas hasn't been to an NFC championship in
30 years.
So.
But again, they have only themselves to blame.
I agree.
Dallas
and the guy that's calling the shots is a big reason why.
And
yes,
if you're so
totally
desperate,
agree.
You do not let a relationship with a player like this devolve the way that it has.
Yep.
You could, the price tag, you could go to 4 first-round picks and I'd probably do it.
Are you going
You could have my arm.
To Toady? Toady McToad?
Well, no, I'm just saying that's how big of a difference Micah Parsons makes. That's how big of a difference he makes. Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Been telling you about Mentality for a while, so what are you waiting for? Mentality's team dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Okay, so what does that mean? Are you tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself? Don't have that edge that maybe you had a year or two ago? Those, I thought, signs of, okay, just getting older, that's the way it is. No, those are signs of low testosterone. And to find out if it is, go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. Book an appointment today. Go through their process. If your testosterone levels are low, then you work with Mentality for a customized testosterone treatment plan. Again, just for you. And every 12, 13 weeks, you go back to make sure your levels are exactly where they need to be. Increase strength, shake fatigue, sleep better. You can even lose weight with Mentality. So go to mentalityhealth.com/radio. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. mentalityhealth.com/radio.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Any barbecue you ate for the rest of your life
will be measured against Bucky.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. These days, it feels like there's advice for everything. Cold plunges, gratitude journals, screen detoxes. How do you know what works for you? Look, there's a lot of information out there about mental health and wellness, and it can be a struggle to know what's true and what action you should take. But I got to tell you guys, for the last 15 years, therapy has really helped me navigate the challenges of everyday life. And I think it can benefit you as well. That's why we've partnered with our friends over at BetterHelp, the world's largest online therapy platform. They've got 30,000 therapists. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and you could be next. By the way, they have a rating of 4.9 out of 5 at the App Store, 1.7 million client reviews. It's the largest online therapy provider in the world, and we know how busy everyone's lives are, so you can do it from your home with the click of a button. It is unlike anything else. Unwind from work with BetterHelp. Listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/timeout. That code word is timeout. BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout, because we're all better with help. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, talking a lot about Micah Parsons this morning. And look, there's a lot of interest. And I know we threw out this suggestion that is out there of two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Rashawn Gary. And I think, Gabe, you said that's not enough. So let's say you throw another pick in there.
Yep.
Isn't there an argument that could be made that Jerry Jones would be making a mistake not to take that deal? That all of those first-round picks could make them a Super Bowl contender? Wouldn't you make that argument if you were inside the Dallas Cowboys front office?
But again, all those first-round picks are likely going to be 25 and after.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to, again, I don't know if Jerry's blinking at three. You might have to make it four. Like, it's going to have to be, if this deal actually happens, there is going to be a portion of the fan base that is going to be uncomfortable with the haul for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it would only have to be in order for Micah to actually be moved. You're going to have to be uncomfortable with it.
I'd love to have that debate. Did they pay too much for Micah Parsons, who's now a Green Bay Packer?
The limit does not exist. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. We'll see you soon, guys.